Bob Hope Show. And now, here is Bob Hope.
Thank you very much.
Not too much. It sounds phony. Say, did you read in the papers that the Hollywood stars are now putting their money into cattle ranches? Well, it's true. Gregory Peck, Jack Benny, Rosalind Russell, Gene Kelly, they all bought cattle ranches. And Jack Benny has already proved he's a natural-born farmer. He has his cows given milkshakes. True. Of course, the cows are a little dizzy when they crawl out of the washing machine. I wish Jack wouldn't mix his farming with his laundry business. Yesterday, my shorts came back not only clean, but homogenized. Of course, Bing started the whole thing with his ranch in Nevada. Actually, his ranch isn't in Nevada. Nevada's on his ranch. He's giving Reno 24 hours to get out. Bing likes owning Nevada, though. Together with Texas, it makes such a nice set. And you'll find Bing on his ranch every summer, just sitting around branding his money. Of course, Bing has other investments, the Pittsburgh Pirates, Gary. He has a lot of stuff. By the way, if any of you are wondering why I've left out the Crosby Foundation, that isn't really an... One day he forgot to wear one and the price of blubber dropped 12 cents a pound. But you probably know that many movie personalities have outside investments. Phil Harris is starting a chain of supermarkets in Beverly Hills. Robert Cummings is going to manufacture men's gabardine jackets. Georgie Jester used to manufacture men's pants until the bottom fell out. And I have a piece of the Cleveland Indians, but the Indians had some tough breaks last year. In fact, if we hadn't sold some pottery in those blankets, we'd have lost money, believe me. Here's Margaret Whiting, who will be assisted by...
Ladies and gentlemen, Bob has plans to produce his own picture in Europe. And, of course, with a project this big, Bob needs help. Now we find him entering the office of the top executive producer at Paramount Studios.
Oh, hello, Mr. Freeman.
Well, Bob Hope, come right in. So nice to see you. Sit down here. Have a cigar. Well, oh, can I get you a drink? Relax. Put your feet up on my desk. Make yourself at home.
Boy, did that road to Bali make money.
Yes, and your new picture's a very big hit, too. Look at these box office reports. Chicago, $42,000 in 3 days. Cincinnati, $38,000. New York, $54,000. Oh, you're the fair-haired boy around here, Robert.
I'm the only one with hair. Say, Mr. Freeman, thank you very much for all those kind words.
Now, tell me, is there anything we can do for you?
Well, as a matter of fact, there is, Mr. Freeman. I'm going to make a picture in Europe, and I'd like to borrow some money from you. I want you to lend me $1.5 million.
A million and a half, eh?
Mm-hmm. Well, I see you're still smiling.
Sure. A million and a half sounds like big money to some people, but not to us. Now, I don't have the authority to lend you that kind of money, Bob. But since you've driven over here, I'll tell you what I can do.
What's that?
I'll be glad to validate your parking ticket.
Gee, thanks. Say, what's the matter, Mr. Freeman? Don't you like the idea of me making an independent picture?
Well, Bob, you've made a lot of pictures lately. Why go off to Europe to make another one? Now, take it easy. You deserve a rest.
But I don't want to take it easy.
Well, then think of your fans.
Well, what about them?
They deserve a rest, too. I don't understand, Bob. What is it that drives you? What's the spark, the force that keeps you working, working, working.
The Bureau of Internal Revenue. You see, Mr. Freeman, I've got to make a picture in Europe. You don't have anything scheduled for me here.
Well, not right now, Bob. We're converting the studio to the three-dimension technique.
Oh, I can't wait to see myself.
Yes. This new process will do wonders for you, Bob. That nose of yours will have a whole dimension to itself. Give up this idea. Making a picture in Europe can be very expensive.
No, not the way I'm doing this picture. This is going to be a musical picture, and instead of taking the chorus girls from here, I'm going to stop in Paris and pick out 10 or 12 beautiful French girls.
Well, there you are, Bob. That'll take you a week or two.
It'll take me a month.
A month? Why?
I'm a slow picker.
Well, Bob, I'm sorry we can't finance your picture, but good luck anyway.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Freeman. See you later.
Goodbye, Bob.
Hey, where have you been, Bob? Hiya, Bill.
Yeah, we've been waiting for you.
Oh, I stopped in at Paramount, Maggie. There's not much doing over there, but guess where I'm going to make my next picture?
Where?
In Europe.
Well, why don't you make your picture here?
To tell you the truth, Maggie, sometimes I feel that Paramount has never caught the real me.
What's to catch?
Yes, I'm fairly intelligent, rather witty. I have a fine sense of drama. I'm clever, talented, personable, and you're genuine all-around good egg.
Bob, how long have you been going steady with you?
Well, maybe I did exaggerate a little, but you know, I must have something in the ball or I wouldn't have won that Oscar.
Oh, no, not again.
Put your shoes on, Maggie. This is where we came in.
Anyway, I'm very enthusiastic about doing a picture in Europe. I'm going right ahead with it.
Well, have you cast it yet, Bob? Who's going to play opposite you?
Well, that's the big question, Bill. I've made pictures with Jane Russell, Virginia Mayo, Dorothy L'Amour, Marilyn Maxwell. Who can I get this time? Who would look right playing opposite me in a big love scene?
Gabby Hayes?
You know, his beard tickles. No, I don't think so. Meet somebody who would make a wonderful leading lady for this picture. She's very talented.
Who's that, Bob?
Ann Baxter.
Oh, she's a wonderful actress. Have you talked to Ann Baxter about it yet?
No, but I think I'd better before someone else signs her for a picture. Bill, hand me that phone. If she's home, I can go right over there and see her. Gee, Ann, you certainly have a lovely home.
Well, thanks, Bob. I'm glad you like
there.
It.
I've never seen so many beautiful paintings and so many books. This is certainly a fine edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Oh, I'm proud of my paintings. I have a Watteau, a Renoir, a Monet, a Corot, and a Picasso. You're familiar with Picasso, of course.
Oh, I don't know very much about him, except that Picasso is looked upon as the founder of Cubism in 1907, later returned a more realistic formula, which he continued until 1930, at which time he resumed painting in the neoclassical style.
Why, Bob!
What you thought I was reading.
Why, Bob, I really am surprised. I suppose you're also very familiar with Watteau.
Not so fast. Give me time to turn the page.
I'll show you some of these paintings, Bob, if you're interested.
Say, this next painting is a real dilly, Ann.
Yes, well, that's a good example of contemporary surrealism with a strong futuristic theme.
Oh, man, what a picture. A banjo wearing a red toupee. Wrapped in a purple electric blanket, standing on top of the Empire State Building.
Do you like it?
Yes, I didn't know Jerry Lewis had time to paint.
You know, Bob, I was quite surprised to get your phone call. Are you really making a movie in Europe?
That's right, Ann. I was hoping I could interest you in doing it with me.
I thought you made all your pictures for Paramount, Bob. Don't they have you tied up?
Only during the love scenes. What do you say, Ann? Do you think you could go abroad for a couple of months?
Well, I'd have to know more about it before I make up my mind, Bob. Who's going to produce the picture?
I am.
And write it?
Me.
How about the director?
I'll direct the picture, and of course I'll star in it.
Oh, I can hardly wait till opening night.
Why?
I want to see you selling the popcorn in the lobby. What's the picture about, Bob?
Oh, you'll love it. In the first big musical scene, 20 beautiful French chorus girls dance across the stage doing the can-can. In the next musical number, there's going to be 30 beautiful chorus girls.
Well, what's the story, Bob?
Oh, I won't know till I talk to the girls.
I think it'd be wonderful in a straight dramatic story.
You do, huh?
Yes, it's about time you made a picture with realistic human values. Why not do a story of love, hate, greed, jealousy, passion, cruelty, lust, and murder?
Sounds like fun. But stories like that aren't easy to find.
Of course they are. Good stories are everywhere. Take the artists who painted these pictures here on these walls. They all had interesting dramatic lives.
Say, maybe you've got something. Moulin Rouge was a big hit. Why couldn't I make a successful picture about an artist?
Oh, it'd be exciting, Bob.
Sure, it would have authenticity, power, drama.
Wonderful.
Real action, color, excitement.
Great.
And of course, it would have me as the star.
Well, no picture is perfect.
Whiting,
yeah, Bill. How did you make out with Ann Baxter? Is she going to do the picture with you in Europe?
Yeah, the deal is almost all set, and it's going to be a very different picture. I'm going to do the life of a famous artist.
Oh, sounds good, Bob.
Yeah, I can just see myself as an artist. Even someone as great as Vincent Van Gogh. Painting, studying, turning out great masterpieces.
Paris. The end of the 19th century. One of the struggling young painters of this era was Vincent Van Hope, who as a child had started out with finger painting.
Yes, I was so enthusiastic about finger painting, I couldn't stop. I went on and painted my toes and arms and legs.
The young artist Vincent Van Hope led a drab, uneventful existence until one day a beautiful woman came to his studio.
How do you do?
Oh, she was lovely. She had Titian hair, a Rubens head, a Rembrandt body, and the whole thing was hydramatic. She looked at me and said,
Vincent Van Hope?
That's right.
You are a painter?
That's what it says in the front of my beret. What is your pleasure, mademoiselle?
Well, I'm an American. I've just bought a large home here in Paris, and I'd like to buy some painting.
Indeed. How does this happen you came to me?
Well, I heard that most of the painters in Paris are eccentric fools and idiots, and someone gave me your name and address.
Merci.
What type of painting do you do?
Oh, I am a modern. I use only the colors strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, and lime.
I'm thinking of commissioning someone to paint me. Do you also do portrait work?
Oui. I would love to paint someone as beautiful as you. I have painted the Duchess of Shropshire, the Earl of Exbrook, Lord and Lady Carruthers, the Duke of Northumberland, and Mel Tremé.
What else do you have to show me?
Oh, I have many other paintings, but what do you think of those you've seen so far?
Shall I be frank?
Of course.
I think your work establishes a new high of tawdry, flamboyant, garish mediocrity.
Gee, and I thought I wasted all those years going to art school.
This landscape here, did you paint it?
Oh, yes. What do you think?
I must admit you've done quite well. Your colors here, this is a very brilliant green grass.
Thank you, merci.
To get the grass so green, did you use a brush and oil?
No, just Vigoro and a spray gun.
Quite a joke. Get it? It made the grass grow.
It made the corn grow, too.
Well, mademoiselle, is there something here you would like for your home?
I haven't decided yet. Do you have anything more to show me?
Well, if you're looking for a bargain, I have a painting here that's damaged. A leak in the roof made the watercolors run. I painted Marie Antoinette standing beside her favorite hunting pony, and then we had a big storm.
What happened?
It came out Lady Godiva riding a Cocker Spaniel.
I think I have seen enough. Au revoir, monsieur.
Vincent, I must talk to you.
Go away, Andre.
You must listen to me, Vincent. I am your best friend. You must paint again. It is 3 months now.
I can't help it. I'm in love with the American girl. Whenever I look, I see her face.
Oh, Vincent.
In the fireplace, she looks at me from the flames. In the shadows, she is there. Today at lunch, I had some Swiss cheese, and her face was in every hole.
Vincent, my friend, you must not go to pieces. You've got to paint that picture right away.
Why should I?
I haven't taken a picture of yours to the dealers in so long, they've forgotten what your work is like. It's a great time to sell them one.
It's no use, Andre. I am too unlucky to sell a painting. All my luck is bad.
Oh, don't think that way. Look at Gainsborough. He became instantly famous with one picture, The Blue Boy.
That's what I mean, Andre. I painted that same boy, but I painted him the day before he turned blue. Oh, if only I were a rich, successful artist, I could go to the beautiful American girl and ask her to marry me.
You can be famous, my friend.
How?
You could be a great success like Rubens, Boucher, Goya, if you painted women. That's what the public wants. Romance.
Well, what's wrong with the things I'm painting now?
Your subjects are too dull. Look at this painting here. Pickled herring peeking through an onion ring. What's romantic about that?
It is to another pickled herring. But why discuss it? Go away, Andre. Leave me alone.
Oh, Vincent, are you so in love with this American girl?
Oh, if I could only see her, talk to her.
Why don't you go to her house?
I tried that. The butler won't let me in the front door. And at the back door, there's a cook and 6 maids.
Won't they let you in?
Yeah, but after I'm inside, I can never remember what I went there for.
Oh, Vincent, my poor friend, there is one thing you can do. Work hard. Become famous. Make her sorry that she has broken your heart.
Oh, I took Andre's advice. I painted day and night, night and day, day and night, until my hands trembled and my eyes were 2 burning coals. Every time I blinked, I started a brush fire in my eyebrows. But I succeeded beyond my fondest dreams. I bought the most magnificent home in Paris. It was on the left bank of the Seine and the right bank of the Seine. That saved me putting in a bathtub. During all these years, I never saw the American girl. Then one day, I went to Maxime's for lunch.
Bonjour, Monsieur Van Hope.
Bonjour, Francois. My usual table, please.
Oui, monsieur. Follow me.
Very well. Just a moment, Francois. I see someone I know at this table. Ah, so we meet again, mademoiselle, the beautiful American.
Why, Vincent Van Hope.
Oui, but I am no longer the struggling artist. Now I am one of the most famous men in the world, but I still feel the same way about you. Will you marry me?
Me? Marry you? Fool, pest, idiot, moron, imbecile.
You don't have to answer now. Think it over.
Oh, it's useless to talk this way. I'm engaged to another man, and Oh, this is he coming across the room toward us now.
Well, Vincent, what are you doing here?
So I've been double-crossed by my best friend.
Oh, Vincent, please. She is so beautiful, I could not help myself.
It is too late to apologize. This means a duel.
Oh, no, no, not a duel.
It is a matter of honor. We meet at sunrise with swords.
Vincent, I warn you, I am an expert swordsman.
And we'll use pistols.
We meet at sunrise in the Bois du Boulogne.
I don't know where it is, but I'll find it.
Gentlemen, you are met here to settle a question of honor.
You know the rule.
I'm getting pretty sick of this line.
We.
Now, you each have a pistol. You will stand back to back, then take 10 paces, turn, and fire. Are you ready, Monsieur André?
Oui. Vive la France!
And you, Monsieur Hope, are you ready?
Oui. Vive la Blue Cross plan.
All right, gentlemen, turn and fire!
Monsieur Van Hoof, I congratulate you. You have won the duel.
Oh, you were magnificent. He shot so many bullets at you. Aren't you hurt?
Not even a scratch.
But how can that be? Is there something in your pocket to stop the bullet?
Sure there is.
What is it?
You don't think I'd leave my Oscar at home, do you?
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Thank you. Yes, sir. It's always a pleasure to be back in town and do a show for you folks. Hollywood audiences are so fast. No kidding. One almost caught me yesterday. You know, I do so few shows here, I had trouble getting into NBC tonight at the artist entrance. I said to the man on the door, but don't you recognize me? Look at my nose. And he said, if you can't fight, why do you get into arguments? But an exciting news item right now, which you can now buy almost anything with just a small down payment. It'll mean more TV sets. Of course, Hollywood already has a terrific number of television sets. In fact, we have so many antennas that the smog is coming in shredded. There's so many TV antennas in California that they're interfering with the birds. This year, the only way the swallows could get back to Capistrano was to join the automobile club. Television is now America's favorite indoor sport. But I think the very last word in television is in the kitchen. They have it, you know. It's a combination television set and garbage disposal. If you don't like the programs, you press a button and start grinding ham bone. Shills are back there. But you know, television programs also have an effect on the education of children. There's a whole generation of kids that'll grow up believing that Washington crossed the Delaware because he needed another box of Ajax, the foaming cleanser. Of course, when I was a kid, we didn't have television. The only wrestling we saw was when we hid behind the couch. They've already tried teaching on TV as an experiment, but it didn't work out. When one little boy came to school the next day, the teacher said, what did you learn, Tommy? And he bowed and kissed her hand and gave her a lit cigarette. And the latest medical sensation is surgery on television. Imagine having your appendix out, then seeing it a year later. And you know how people always say, let me show you my operation? Now they get a channel and bring it right into your living room. Just as the surgeon prepared to remove the liver,
The patient sat up and said, "But doctor, it's my tonsils." And the doctor said, "I know, but I'm trying to get a sponsor." Thank you very much.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, these are busy days in Hollywood. Among other productions, a Crosby, Lamour, Hope picture is in preparation. Right now, it's early morning on the lot, and Bob is in his dressing room waiting for his makeup man.
Oh, boy. Just getting up at 6 in the morning is murder, huh? I was better off back in Cleveland. There I got to sleep until 7. Of course, I was working in a butcher shop. I had to get there before anybody else and change the lamb chops from their pajamas into their panties. Oh, well, it's a living. Come in.
Morning, Mr. Hope.
Oh, good morning, Fred.
If you'll sit in your chair, Mr. Hope, I'll start putting on your makeup.
Okay. My, you're certainly cheerful this morning.
Well, I like to work on your face.
Why?
It's such a challenge.
What do you mean?
Acres and acres of flab, and it's all mine.
You read that line so nice, don't you? All right, Fred, just do it, huh?
Well, you can't blame me for being excited. Working on you is one job where I feel like a witch doctor. Here I am with my little makeup kit struggling to undo something Mother Nature did in a nasty mood.
Fred, let's not do a whole bit here. Just smear, smear. Huh?
Very well. Very well. First, let's get this cold cream on your neck. Whoops!
What's the matter?
I got my finger caught in a wrinkle. Now, we'll just let that set for a minute, and while we're waiting, I'll just pluck your eyebrows.
Okay, take it easy, though.
Oh, this won't hurt a bit. Here we go. One. Here's another one. Ooh, here's a doozer. This is a stubborn little one. I got it.
Oh, swell. If I ever need an extra eye, now there's a hole for it.
Well, let's see now. I think we're ready for the makeup now.
Well, I want to talk to you about that, Fred. What was that stuff you put on my face yesterday?
Oh, that's something new. And I know it's going to be wonderful for your face.
Why?
It's the same stuff they're using to pave the Hollywood freeway.
Look, Fred, let's get this thing over with, huh?
All right. I'll just put some of this powder on you. Put this towel around your head, and we'll just put this chin strap under your face. There.
Anybody here? Oh, hello, Fred.
Oh, hello, Miss Lamour.
Hey, Dottie, come on over here.
Who is it?
Who is it? Don't you recognize me? No, it's me, Dottie. Wait till I get this stuff off.
Oh, that's better.
You all set to go to work?
Uh-huh. Gee, Bob, it's just like old times doing a road picture with you and Bing.
Yeah, remember the first one? Boy, was I green. I kept messing up one scene. I had to kiss you 500 times.
Yeah, then I turned green.
Go on, you loved every minute of it.
Well, I must admit that I've kissed a lot of leading men in pictures, but there's something about your lips that's different.
My tailor pads them for me. I've got the only tweed pucker in town.
You know, Bob, you've matured. You're really working hard on this picture.
Well, that's because of my new... I was working on my tweed pucker. Did you like it? I have a tweed pucker and a plaid head. Well, that's because of my new financial deal with Paramount. It's just wonderful.
Really?
Yes, rather than working on a straight salary, I'm paid on a cost-plus deferment basis, which is figured on a fiduciary arrangement over $1 million with the exhibitors cut east of the Rockies, which is included in the general corporation setup.
Oh, what does that come to?
About $25 a week.
Why don't you go to the unemployment office and cut out the middleman?
You know, Dottie, I'm glad you stopped by. There's something I want to talk to you about.
What's that?
Well, how shall I start? Well, let me put it this way. You, Bing, and I are making a picture. Now, let's evaluate the three of us.
All right.
Now, you're attractive, a good actress, and as for me, my looks and my acting ability, well, gee, I hate to say it.
But you will.
Well, I like to be honest.
Bob, what are you driving at?
Well, it's about Bing.
Well, what about him?
Well, Dottie, you know how it is in Hollywood. Some actors fade away, some disappear, some aren't as strong as they used to be. With Bing, it's different.
Different?
Yes, with him, rigor mortis is set in.
Stop exaggerating.
Who's exaggerating? After we finish the scene, they put him back in the icebox so he won't fall apart.
Don't be silly. Bing's still wonderful.
Of course he is, but when you stack him up against us, I mean, why should he injure our brilliant careers?
I don't understand.
Well, after our last road picture, Paramount got a letter that said, Hope and L'Amour were fine, but why did they need their grandmother in the picture?
Bob, are you sure that's what the letter said?
Well, I ought to be able to read my own writing. Now, here's what I had in mind. We got to protect this picture.
Oh, Bob.
Really, whenever we're shooting a scene, we got to hide Bing from the camera.
How can we do that?
Well, you could stand in front of him.
I will not.
All right, then I'll stand in front of him.
That'll hide everybody. Bob, I'm really surprised at you. After all, you and Bing have been friends for a long time.
Oh, please.
And he's done a lot for you.
Old hydromatic hips. What did he ever do for me?
Lots of things. Why, when you first came to Hollywood, you didn't know anybody. You couldn't get work. You were sick.
That's true. I almost froze to death posing for a calendar.
You were alone, friendless. You were like a little bird. And Crosby took you under his wing.
Well, that was nice, but he tried to sit on me and hatch me.
Bob, you ought to be ashamed of yourself, dreaming up a little plot like this.
Well, maybe you're right. It wasn't fair of me to think only of us. I take it all back. I wouldn't really do anything to hurt Bing anyway.
Well, that's better.
Hello? Yeah, this is Bob Hope. It's the production department, Dottie.
Oh?
What? He did? Why, he can't do that. Oh, he did, huh? Well, he hasn't heard the last of this.
Bob, what's the matter?
Crosby called to say he won't be in today. There'll be no shooting.
Why?
He's going to play golf instead. Why, the nerve of that monster. Did you ever see him play golf? It takes him all day just to play 9 holes. Every time he takes a step, he trips over his hearing aid.
Gee, he might have given us a little notice.
Well, that's the way he does things. He doesn't tell anybody. That's the way he foreclosed the mortgage on my house. Ooh, I'll fix him for this. I'll get somebody to replace him and have Paramount throw him out of the picture.
Who are you going to get to replace him?
Well, I'll get somebody. When I get through, he'd be sorry he did this. He'll be right back where he started from on a milk truck.
You mean Bing drove a milk truck?
No, he pulled it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like you to meet a gal we've had the pleasure of working with several times.
Peggy?
And thank you, Bob, for that lovely introduction.
Yeah? Well, there's something I'd like to add.
What's that?
Les, may we have a big fanfare, please? Les, that was a fanfare? It was more like my paycheck after they take out the withholding tax. We were just going to do a few scenes from our earlier shows this year. For instance, down in Corpus Christi, Texas, we did a show for the boys at the Naval Air Station, and I played the part of a cruel, vicious sea captain.
There she goes, helmsman, and look sharp. Captain Bligh's headed toward the bridge.
Mr. Christian,
Aye, aye, sir.
Mr. Christian, heave-ho your topside, mizzen up your spinnaker, jib your boom, and belay your forecastle.
What does that mean, sir?
I don't know. I'm mad with power.
Are you taking over, Captain?
Indeed, Mr. Christian. Bring me up to date. What progress have we made since this good ship left home?
Well, I have the log right here, sir. The first day, we traveled 6 inches. The second day, 1.5 feet. The third day, 2 feet.
Not very good, is it?
No, sir.
Well, we'll go a lot faster once we get to the water. Mr. Christian, I run me ship as I please.
Sir, I'm duty-bound to tell you that I consider you the cruelest, most vicious, black-hearted, sadistic monster on the seven seas.
Thank you. Mr. Christian, what's this? The men are approaching the bridge. They have weapons.
It's mutiny, sir. I warned you. Now your time has come.
No, no.
You may have your choice, Captain Bligh. Hang by a rope from a yardarm or be cast adrift in a dinghy.
No, no, not that. I don't know a thingy about a dinghy.
Very well, then. It's the rope. And here it is.
Just a moment. I'm not afraid to die, but grant me one request so that I may die as an Englishman and a gentleman.
What is your request?
When you put that rope around my neck...
Yes?
Please tie a Windsor knot. And there's some months ago, we were at Camp Pendleton for the men of the Marines. We did a cute little sketch with a Scottish background.
Hector.
I...
Isn't it wonderful out here?
Oh, I.
Tis a brabrich moonlich nicht to nicht. It's fun to say, and the dew is good for the heather, you know. Look, dearie, I got a surprise for you. I brought you some candy.
Oh, Hector, you're too good to me.
Here it is.
Thank you. I've never seen candy exactly like this before. I couldn't stop it.
You're winding it up.
What kind is it?
Oh, they're called lifesavers. I'll bring you another one from the package tomorrow night. Ah, Annie, it's nice to be with you. Someday, when I'm a famous musician, we'll get married.
Daughter, where are you?
Oh, his father. He better not find me here with you.
Where are you, daughter?
I'm over here in the rye field, father, trying to track down one of our lost sheep.
Bah. Well, he shouldn't be hard to find. I see some footprints here. The only sheep in the field wearing army shoes. I thought so. Who is this bum?
No, father.
I'm not a bum. I'm a...
a boom?
I'm a very accomplished musician, and someday I'll be very rich.
Bah!
I will. I just finished writing a wonderful song, and your daughter was the inspiration for it. I'll sing it to you. Listen. If a buddy meets a buddy... coming through the rye. If a body miss a body, need a body.
Didn't miss that body, did I?
Say, I can remember another show we did. It was the Los Alamitos. And we did our version of the great motion picture, Death of a Salesman.
My name is Willie Loman. I'm a salesman. Been a salesman for almost 40 years. I've sold everything in my time, but right now I'm selling garbage disposal units. And I'm good at it. The president of the company said I had the best head for garbage disposal he ever saw. But don't get the wrong idea. It ain't no fun being a salesman. All day long, you stick your foot in the door and people slam it on you. Happened to me so many times, I don't wear shoes. I wear doorstops. Yeah, selling's my life, but I got a funny feeling something's going to happen. The boss of the company has called me into his office.
Sit down, Willie.
Yes, sir.
Willie, you've been with this company for 40 years.
That's right, sir.
Willie, it's a feeling up in the front office that you're slipping.
I'm not.
How about your last trip? You were in Wyoming, supposed to be selling swivel chairs.
Well, it's hard to sell swivel chairs out in the cow country. I got a cow to sit down on one, but her aim was bad and she missed the bucket. Are you trying to tell me I'm through?
Afraid so, Willie. I'm going to have to give you your notice.
Oh, but you can't do this to me. I got a wife and family. I need the money. I'll do anything. I don't have to be a salesman. I'll be your office boy. I'll scrub the floors.
We have an old woman for that.
Let me scrub the old woman.
I'm sorry, Willie. We can't carry you. You're fired.
That's gratitude. 40 years with the company. 40 years of being a traveling salesman. I should have got that other job when I had the chance.
What other job?
Being a farmer's daughter.
Well, how could you be a farmer's daughter? You're not a girl.
What do them farmers know? They only feed the whole world and elect presidents. Number called Wing Ding, and I've asked Miss Peggy Lee.
The Bob Hope Show is brought to you through the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.